WWE was sold out in Boston tonight. They were at the TD Garden. They had a sellout crowd of over 17,000 people. They were sold out for one reason. The next time they come to Boston, they will not be sold out with 16,000 people because they will not have John Cena. That is what these people were there tonight for one final time. John Cena had his Boston farewell tonight. And these people in this building blew the roof off from the moment he came out there. Unfortunately, they used up all of their energy because for the remainder of the show, for pretty much all the matches, they were dead silent. They really didn't care about anything on this show anywhere close to what they represented here in this opening segment where they went wild for John Cena. And we didn't see him again for the rest of the night after all the opening stuff. And it definitely affected the crowd reactions for the rest of the night. I've never heard a crowd of 16,000 people that quiet for most of these matches. But tonight was Cena's farewell. And there was a lot of talk about what he may or may not be doing on the show. Next week, of course, is his final show at Madison Square Garden. And he'll be there. We don't know doing what. I'm sure he'll be wrestling. I can't imagine he doesn't wrestle in his final MSG appearance. All they have told us is that he is going to be on the show. But tonight, there were rumors going around earlier in the day. Bodyslam.net had the report that we were going to get a match tonight between John Cena and Dominic Mysterio, possibly for the Intercontinental Championship. That was originally rumored for Survivor Series. It was Dave Meltzer in The Observer a few weeks ago who said that was the planned match for San Diego. And obviously, there was a change in plans because now it looks like if we get anything between them, it would be Rey and Dom in San Diego, which kind of makes more sense. So I guess they bumped it up, and we got it tonight. And I cannot tell you, over the last several months, how many emails, how many tweets I've gotten from people saying, what do you think about this? Or is John Cena going to win the Grand Slam? Because for all the championships that he's held in his WWE career, WWE champion, World Heavyweight Champion, United States Champion, Tag Team Champion, he has never been the Intercontinental Champion. And there are people that were very upset that his career might come to an end and he might not win the Grand Slam. Now, to me, as I've said before, I don't really care one way or the other. It would be a cool thing, I guess, for the fans. As we got closer to the end of this retirement tour, it just seemed to make less and less sense because why would you want to put a secondary championship on John Cena going into his final match? Unless the idea was that he was going to put somebody over who could really get the rub, not only by beating John Cena in his last match, but by winning the Intercontinental title. And there is a certain someone that I suggested a couple weeks ago, who would benefit from a spot like that. But I was like, you know, it's just not necessary. But we got the match tonight. We got John Cena and Dominic Mysterio in an impromptu match for the Intercontinental Championship. The AAA mega title was not on the line. Can you imagine John Cena going in there and winning the AAA mega title? See the return of Juan Cena for his retirement match. We have a new Intercontinental Champion, and his name is John Cena. He is now a Grand Slam winner. He joins the Grand Slam Club, and I don't even know how many members are in the club. I know Shawn Michaels is in there. There's a bunch of people in there. But now he is part of this elite crew of people. And everybody can be happy. And look, it was a great feel-good moment. I don't have anything against it. It really is just now a matter of how do they proceed from here? Is this championship reign going to last more than a week? Is he going to drop it right back to him in Madison Square Garden next week? Very possible. Is he going to defend it at Survivor Series? Very possible. He is supposed to be there. He's advertised for San Diego. I can't imagine Cena is just going to come out and wave to everybody. Petco Park, 30,000 people. Hey, guys. Like fucking Chris Jericho. Hi, guys. So we don't know. There's a lot of questions now about where you go from here with John Cena as the Intercontinental Champion. But for one night in his hometown, his last time ever, his final bow in Boston, it was a very memorable, very cool moment for him to join that club. Everybody was happy. He had this big smile on his face like, oh my God, I have the Intercontinental Championship. This is wonderful. And now we wait and see how long is he actually going to hold on to it for? But that wasn't the only newsworthy thing that happened on this show tonight. Because beyond the John Cena stuff, we also had another title change. That was not the only title change on the show tonight. In the main event, we had new tag team champions crowned on the women's side. It is the Kabuki Warriors. Asuka and Kairi Sane, once again, it's been a while. Once again, tag team champions with a win over Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss. And this then led into a post-match angle to set up the returns of Io Sky and Rhea Ripley. And you know it's war game season because Rhea is back in the face mask because she has a broken nose. So that's how you know. It's not the first time she's going to be going into war games with a broken nose. So they made their return at the end of the show. We had Rhea Ripley shouting into the microphone, "War games!" And then on the men's side, that also, the war games lineup came into a little bit of clarity. We're still not totally there with the men and the women as far as 5-on-5, but we got some more clarity tonight on what these war games matches are going to look like, which we kind of have to because it's coming up in a few weeks. We also had the Women's World Championship on the line tonight. Still your champion is Stephanie Vaquere, who was then attacked when the match was over by Nikki Bella. Nikki Bella turned heel on Stephanie Vaquere, which is now going to set up a championship program between Nikki Bella and Stephanie Vaquere, which I'm sure has you all very excited. Predictable though it may have been, that was still one of the big things that happened on the show tonight. We also had the first two matches in the John Cena Last Time Is Now tournament. We had Rusev against Damian Priest. We had Sheamus against Shinsuke Nakamura. And I will get into all of this and let you know who's moving on, who is not. We had two more matches announced for Madison Square Garden next week in the John Cena tournament. I will tell you what those matches are going to be. We had another match also announced for Madison Square Garden next week. The women's Intercontinental title will be on the line. You can probably surmise what that match is going to be because they kind of set it up a couple of weeks ago. So I like that they've at least set a bunch of things up already for next week. Again, it was a very newsworthy and mostly solid show, but with a very dead crowd for most of the match. It was very noticeable how uninterested they sounded for a lot of the things on this show that did not involve John Cena. It was as if, you know, again, they peaked with the Cena stuff at the very beginning. And I can understand them wanting to save the women's tag team title match for the main event because A, there was a title change planned, and B, it was setting up the return of Rhea Ripley, even more than Io Sky. All right, that was the big thing. Like, Rhea's going to come out. She's going to scream war games. So I know why they did it that way. In retrospect, it would have made more sense to close the show with John Cena. That's a big deal. You know, him going in there and winning the Intercontinental title, you had to know, like, that is what these people were there for. And that's a big moment. So it's like, how do you not close the show with that? But Cena is also the kind of guy I could see him being like, you know what? It shouldn't be about me. Wouldn't shock me at all if he had input into that and said, you know what? It shouldn't be me closing the show. This will be a nice thing for us to do on the show, but keep the attention on the women. Keep the attention on war games. That's what's coming up. Because Cena, I could see Cena being the kind of person who would actually say something like that. But I do think it would have made more sense to give that moment all of the attention at the very end of the show. But we got a newsworthy one to talk about here, which is more than I can say for the other show on Friday night. This is your Raw on Netflix review. It is Monday, November 10th, 2025. I am the Sala Monster. Thank you guys for joining me here. We are celebrating 18 years of the Sound Off all November long. And I noticed before I went live tonight, we also passed 89,000 subscribers. So thank you for 89K. Glad we hit that here on a Monday night. So hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Super chats are open. You will see them popping up on your screen. There he is right there, King Kong Bundy on your screen. We got a bunch of super chats that came in earlier. I set a late goal. I don't know that we're going to hit it, but the goal is a little bit different tonight. So I elevated it. But if we do hit the goal tonight, not only do you get a bonus Be the Booker, but you will be getting a brand new installment for the first time in a very long time of RSPW Rewind. That is, if we hit the goal tonight, I will have to begin working on that. So anyway, that is in the chat right now if you want to go check that out. But let's start from the very beginning of the show here and the part that everybody in Boston was waiting for. Because after the opening of the show with Joe Tessitore, he was narrating over some shots from West Newbury, Massachusetts, which is specifically where John Cena grew up. So they showed some of the streets and the schools and all the places where young John Cena was watching wrestling back then, playing with his Hulk Hogan wrestling buddy. So after that, I thought they were going to throw it back to the arena, hit Cena's music, big pop, out comes John Cena. Instead, they go to the ring, and already in the ring, and they're playing his music, is the chief content officer of WWE, Paul Levesque. Triple H is in the ring, because of course he is. And right behind him, it's right there on the hard cam. I'm almost positive they confiscated this person's sign after this, but there was a giant sign visible right behind him a few rows up on camera, clear as day, that said Triple H sucks. I don't think that sign lasted too much longer, but it was right there. He said, "We live in a magical time where everyone can get together for a night like this." He said that it's also a time when people don't agree on much, especially when it comes to the business. He said fans, media, people in the back have their opinion on who the greatest of all time is. He said that he can see all sides of what it takes to be great in this business. He said one person was a box office attraction, left it all in the ring every night for 20 years. One person who was ruthless on the microphone and could tear anybody apart. And one person who did it all with a smile on his face because he loved the business as much as anyone on the planet. Loves to talk about the business. He did that even back in the day, you know, when he was first coming up as the game. Everything was in this business. The best in the business. Rock still had the greatest Triple H impression back in the day. "I'm the game, and I'm going to look mean. I'm going to put my muscles up." Rock used to just fucking tear him apart. It was so great. Oh, man, we missed that on that little tease of the final boss and Triple H and some interaction between them last year. What happened there? What happened there? No follow-up. No nothing. Egos, right? Did egos get in the way of that? But then he said that this person is the single greatest asset that this business has ever seen. The fans were giving him the what treatment, I should point out. He was just steamrolling over them, but they were definitely giving him the what treatment here. And then he delivered a big introduction for the man that he called the greatest of all time, John Cena. This is what they've been calling him now for the past few years. This was a Vince McMahon thing. It started a while back. And I'm sure in their minds that he is the greatest of all time. You know, he was the guy that guided them. And how many t-shirts with him did they sell over a period of 15 years? Never gave them any problems, right? He was the model employee. Except he wasn't an employee. He was the model independent contractor. So I'm sure in their mind, oh, sure, yeah, John Cena is the greatest of all time. But it's a marketing thing. They've been doing this now for years. But it's very interesting. According to WWE, based on what Triple H said here, according to the company, being a great asset to the company and to the business, a great asset, that's what makes you the greatest of all time. So if you're wondering what the criteria is for the greatest of all time, now you know. You have to be a good asset for them. And then you could be the GOAT. John Cena came out. He got the expected monster pop here from the crowd in Boston. That's what he is. He's a model independent contractor. It's legitimately what he is. Cena ran to the ring. He ran the ropes. And then he motioned for his music to be cut. He shook hands with Triple H, who stayed in the ring. He stayed in the corner while Cena spoke. Cena said the one question that he's heard a lot since he announced his retirement is who he would like to face But only one person asked him what he wanted to do with this whole exercise. And he motioned to Levesque in the corner when he said this. Cena's goal was to leave this business better than he found it, to pay back all the opportunities that the company gave him and that the fans were gracious enough to put up with. The Last Time Is Now tournament would determine who could retire John Cena, and that starts tonight. Cena also said that he had an announcement about Saturday night's main event, which is coming up on December 13th. It would close one chapter, but it would open another. It would be an opportunity for main roster wrestlers to host a series of exhibitions against the best from NXT. Now, Cena's been hanging around NXT recently because a lot of the NXT stars have been taking pictures with him and tweeting them out. I saw a picture with him and Blake Monroe. He popped into TJ and Natty's dungeon. He's been making the rounds down there in Florida. Says that night would close one chapter, but would pave the road ahead, which is what he wanted on this last tour. Cena said that he had one other request, which is kind of selfish, which is that he'd be able to go to Boston one last time. And he got censored. He started talking about, like, why this building was so important to him, because when he was a young fan, he would come to this building and watch the WWF. So he said WWF, and they censored him. I guess you're not allowed to say WWF. Fucking stupid as shit, but whatever. So he was just talking about, you know, the significance of being in this building and the banners that are raised above and what it means to him to be here one last time. He was interrupted by the Intercontinental, or I stand corrected, the Mega Intercontinental Champion, Dominic Mysterio, came down to the ring to massive heat. You know, he's been getting a lot of babyface reactions in a lot of the cities they've been going to, but this was just pure heat. From the moment he came out to the moment he came to the ring, and it was like the old days where they were trying to drown him out with booze. Fans also chanted "shut the fuck up" at him multiple times. Dom asked Triple H what he was going to do about what happened to him last week. And he took issue with his celebration being interrupted by some old deadbeat, talking about his dad last week. He said that he's the one who interrupts old men, not the other way around. So Cena took exception to this. That prompted him to speak up. Dom told Cena to let the grown men handle their business and speak only when spoken to, or I'll put you down. Cena told Dom it was a fine speech, but Dom forgot where he was and who he was talking to. Cena said in any other city, he would give Dom a chance, but he had none. He had no chance on this night. Tonight, I am invincible. And he told Dom that he would lose if he tried to pick a fight with him. Cena said that out of respect for Dom's father, which one? Which one are we talking about here? He would let Dom turn around and walk your ass back through that curtain. Dom said that Cena would need more magic, or more than magic, to touch him. Dom said that he's not even at his peak yet, but he is already better than Cena was in his prime. And Dom said that he would have, any other era, he would have whooped Cena's ass. Any time, any place, any era. So Levesque stepped in here. He said, any time, any place, any era. Huh. He said it seemed like a pretty good era. I don't know about that. We are, after all, in the ruthless regression era, at least on Fridays. But he goes, it's a pretty good era. Pretty good place. Pretty good time. He told Dom that he was going to wrestle, and not only wrestle John Cena, but defend his Intercontinental Championship tonight against John Cena. The fans erupted at the announcement. He goes, not only are you going to defend the Intercontinental Championship against John Cena, you're going to do it right now. And he called for a referee to come out to the ring, said, let's get to work. And out came a referee ahead of the first commercial break. See, you can tell how over you really are, like how over John Cena is, that Dom came out and was able to get 100% heat from this crowd here. So they went to a commercial break. So ended the full opening segment here. And it was a fine segment. It was what the people paid money to see. This is why Boston sold out tonight. This is what people wanted. They wanted one last chance to hear the music and to see the entrance and to hear from John Cena and maybe see him wrestle, because this is it. You know, we're down to the last handful of appearances here. So I think it was a very crowd-pleasing, fun segment. Honestly, the show did, and there's a lot that happened on the show, but it peaked. It peaked with this segment here. And it was very interesting hearing Cena talk about there being WWE against NXT exhibitions or exhibition matches, as he talked about on Saturday night's main event. I like that it's, at least I think this is what he's going for, a throwback to when he debuted in 2002. It was that open challenge that Kurt Angle threw out to anybody in the back. And that's how he debuted. He came out. That's where Ruthless Aggression wasn't born, but you know, Vince McMahon had just been on television, I think, that Monday, talking about Ruthless Aggression. Here comes this young kid. I mean, fuck, I didn't know who he was. He came out, I legitimately thought his name was John Cena. I mean, that's what fucking Santino used to call him, but that's how I thought his name was pronounced. I didn't know who he was. And he walks out to the ring of Ruthless Aggression. But it was a chance for him to, you know, showcase what he can do. And it's funny because it still wasn't enough. And he admits that he was this close from being cut, you know, a few months later, until Stephanie, you know, heard him, you know, rapping on the bus, and then the rest is history. But here's an opportunity now for some of the NXT talents to appear on Saturday night's main event against main roster talents and showcase what they can bring to the table. So I like the concept. They did not get into any details about what that's going to look like, how many of these matches there are going to be, who the people would be. Is NXT going to have matches where people, you know, have to qualify? We don't have any of those details yet. The idea of it, the concept of it, I think is solid. And I'm looking forward to seeing exactly how they're going to figure that out. Because we knew there was going to be more than just, you know, Cena's match on that show. We don't know if there's going to be other championship matches on that show. There's still a lot of questions about it. But I think the idea is a good one. And so this led into a very impromptu Intercontinental Championship match with Dirty Dom defending his title against John Cena. And mind you, this is Cena's final match ever in his hometown. And it started during the commercial break because Alicia Taylor was in the ring. She did all the ring introductions. And as she was wrapping up Cena's introduction, Dom attacked Cena. So that was how the match got underway. When they came back, the match was joined, already in progress. Man, Cena's final match in Boston. And it starts during a commercial break. In the opening segment, he's jerking the curtain and his match is joined, already in progress. Man, doesn't that just scream superstar to you? Greatest of all time. Cena had the better of things until Dom tossed him into the ring post. Dom countered out of an attitude adjustment and hit a DDT and then a slingshot senton. Cena, though, got his knees up on another attempt as they came back from a second commercial break. We got two breaks in less than 10 minutes. I guess that's what happens when the opening segment goes a little long. Cena did his usual comeback, including the five-knuckle shuffle. Dom slipped out of the AA again. He shoved Cena shoulder first into the ring post. Dom then exposed the top turnbuckle to distract the referee while he went and grabbed a steel chair. And then Dom did the Eddie Guerrero fake out, where he faked the chair shot and he dropped down to the canvas. Cena, though, had it scouted. And so Cena dropped the chair after it was tossed to him, and he laid down on the mat also, and the crowd chanted for Eddie. The camera got a close-up shot of Cena laying on the mat. He looked over at Dom, he smiled, and he winked. And the crowd popped. Cena hoisted Dom up for another AA, but they bumped the referee. So down goes the ref. Cena applied an STF, poorly, and Dom tapped out. Cena now, who has been doing this for 2 decades, jumps up to his feet thinking he won the match. Dumb baby face syndrome will live on forever. It doesn't matter how big of a star you are, it afflicts them all. So this guy thinks he's won the match. This guy thinks he's won the Grand Slam. He's the new champion. Of course, there's no referee, so he didn't win shit. So then Dominic tried a belt shot. Cena ducked it. He hit an AA. a new referee ran down to the ring. Dom kicked out when he made the cover, so we got a good near fall out of it. Dom tripped Cena into the ropes. He hit a 619. He went up top. He followed that with a frog splash, but on the landing, Cena rolled through, and he hit one final emphatic attitude adjustment, and he pinned Dirty Dom to win the Intercontinental Championship for the first time in his career. And with that win, John Cena enters the Grand Slam Club. Are you happy now? Everybody should be happy. They wanted so badly for John Cena to win the Grand Slam. Hit a Grand Slam. And so he did. Now he can say that he was Intercontinental Champion. And he celebrated with the title, and they shot off this just massive wall of pyro over by the stage. Like they did when he won the WWE Championship at WrestleMania. And then they faded into a commercial break. And after the break, they showed Cena. He was in the back in the gorilla position. He got a standing ovation from all of the talent back there. He shook everybody's hand, including Rey Mysterio. He was there. And Rey said that his son needed that ass kicking. And Cena said, "Nah, he's a good kid. Hopefully it wakes him up." Cena looked up and he spotted someone. The camera panned back and we saw the WWE champion, Cody Rhodes. And the two of them shook hands. The match doesn't matter. I mean, the match was the match. It was all about the finish of the match. The match itself was very, very basic stuff. That's all John Cena had to do. It wasn't about the quality of the match. He could work the most basic match imaginable, which frankly is what he should be doing right now anyway, because he has managed throughout this entire run, and he's had a bunch of matches, including some 20-minute matches with Randy Orton and CM Punk and Cody. I mean, I think the match with Cody at SummerSlam was like 40 minutes. You know, he's had some banger matches on this tour, AJ Styles, right? But now we're very, very close to the end. Like, we are so close to the end. And they can ill afford for him to suffer an injury, something goes wrong. So I think you want to have him in the ring at Madison Square Garden, give him a match, same thing as Survivor Series. But I think, especially on TV, I think you want to keep it as basic as possible and not take too many unnecessary risks if you don't have to. Because my God, can you imagine if something goes wrong and that jeopardizes December 13th, what a fucking catastrophe that would be. So I'm not expecting him to go out there and bust out a bunch of moves I've never seen him do before. I'm not expecting him to go out there with Dom and have the kind of match he had with Cody at SummerSlam. It was what it needed to be. And the crowd ate up every single bit of it. It's like an old Hogan match, right? Doesn't have to do much. But when you're at your peak and the people paid to come see you, you give them the greatest hits and they'll be happy. Especially if you give them a title change. Then they're even happier. So they got the feel-good moment. It's going to go down as one of those memorable, you know, Raw moments. Question now is, what's the game plan here? What's the battle plan for him with this belt? Because when I first heard about him and Dom maybe at Survivor Series, I said, well, that doesn't leave any time for him to drop it other than his final match. There's no need for John Cena to go into his final match as the Intercontinental Champion. I mean, that's just dumb. Today's episode is sponsored by Hims. Guys, what's one of the most important traits that women look for in a man? Confidence. A lot of confidence can go a long way. That's probably true of a lot of things in life, not just love, but even in business. So it's not surprising that how much hair you have on your head can directly correlate to how confident you are. That's why hair loss isn't just about what's on your head. It's how you feel when you see that person looking back at you in the mirror. That's where Hims can be a game changer for you. Hims helps you take back that confidence with access to simple, personalized care that fits your life and your goals. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. Doctor-trusted, clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil can stop further hair loss and regrow hair in as little as 3 to 6 months. You shouldn't have to go out of your way just to feel like yourself. That's ridiculous. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. There's no hidden fees. There's no surprise costs. just real personalized care on your schedule. You can think of Hims as your digital front door that you walk through to get back to your old self. With simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns, all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/solomonster. That's hims.com/solomonster for your free online visit. hims.com/solomonster. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. But then you see tonight he's talking about how he requested WWE against NXT exhibition matches on December 13th. He's very keen on passing the torch, putting a spotlight on the next generation of talent. And I think he really does genuinely care about that. You know, I think that's why he's popping into NXT and meeting with these people and giving advice, because he cares, you know, and he can see, like, okay, we got all this young, hungry talent, and that used to be me, and he wants to see them thrive and grow. And I could see him being like, okay, how can we use my last match as a way perhaps to elevate somebody? Now you're getting into the question of who should be his final opponent. And I'll tell you who he's wrestling later, but spoiler, although not much of one, Gunther has been announced for the tournament. Gunther is coming back. He is going to be in the tournament. It's the worst kept secret. Gunther is likely going to win and end up being John Cena's final opponent. If John Cena does not drop the Intercontinental title, whether it's back to Dom or somebody else, Balor, boy, that would piss off Dom if he lost it to Balor in the Garden next week. But we don't push Finn Balor, so that ain't going to happen. But if he doesn't drop the championship before Saturday night's main event, him against Gunther for that title makes zero sense. Like, no sense whatsoever. It is beneath Gunther at this point. I don't give a shit that 80% of his time on the main roster, he's been a champion. We have to keep that going. No, you don't. You want to keep it going, then put the world heavyweight title back on him. He doesn't need the Intercontinental Championship. It's a step backwards. It's unnecessary. If that is the case, and he's going into that match as the champion, and I talked about this last week, that's where you open the door for someone from NXT. Like Obafemi. He's the guy. If it's going to be an NXT talent, he's the guy. We don't even know yet if he's going to be in the tournament. But especially if he is, if they're keeping that belt on Cena, Obafemi should win this tournament. If Obafemi is in the tournament, he should win the tournament. Then it makes sense. Because now you have John Cena in his final match defending this championship against somebody that a lot of people will look at and go, holy shit, this guy's the real deal. He's the total package. He's got all the tools. He's got the look. He's got the size. He's got the talent. He can talk. He can do all of these things. And Cena is so hell-bent on NXT and, you know, showcasing what we have waiting in the wings in NXT. Well, what better way to do that than by him going in there and working with and then dropping the Intercontinental Championship, which is supposed to be, you know, step, let's call it what it is. It's a stepping stone championship. You would want that championship on somebody who you look at and go, one day this person's going to be the world heavyweight champion. That's why Gunther had it for 666 days. We all knew that Gunther was going to be world heavyweight champion one day, just by virtue of him holding it, knowing where he was going, and him going out there and having killer matches, elevated that championship. That's the run that elevated the Intercontinental title more than any other in the last decade. And that's taking nothing away from The Miz back in, what was it, 2017? He had a really good run there for a while with that belt, and that kind of helped elevate it for the first time in a while. But that Gunther run is what took the Intercontinental Championship from here and elevated it back up here, where it had not been for a very long time. If he's in the tournament, Obafemi should beat John Cena in his final match, take that championship, and fucking run with it. If John Cena does not go into the final match with the championship, then it's open. Doesn't have to be Oba. It could be Gunther. It could be anybody. But in that instance, I'm just saying, it does not make any sense for Gunther to be that guy. He does not need it. Now we wait and see. If Cena's run is going to last more than a week. I don't know. We're getting all these impromptu matches. Even when he wrestled Sami Zayn for the U.S. title, it was unannounced. We're not going to know until next week at the Garden. Now, there was an LA Knight interview during the commercial break that was conducted by Byron Saxton up on the concourse. Knight talked about wanting to go after John Cena because he's in the tournament. LA Knight has a match on SmackDown this Friday against a mystery opponent. I thought maybe it was going to be Gunther, and it will not be Gunther. But he talked about how now Cena has a championship, and that makes him a target, and he wants it. And he was nearing the end of his spiel. I saw the little countdown clock in the corner. I said, he's not going to finish. And sure enough, they cut him off in the middle of his promo. Poor LA Knight. He didn't do anything else on the show tonight. He had an off-TV mid-commercial promo that got cut off in mid-sentence. Such is the state of LA Knight. Then we had our first match in the John Cena Last Time Is Now tournament with Rusev, who has a history with John Cena, going back to, a decade, 10 years ago, against the man who has no history whatsoever or affiliation or connection of any kind with John Cena, Damian Priest. And they put over Priest's injured eye from when he was burned by the fireball from Aleister Black a few weeks ago. The fans were dead silent. I'm talking like rest in peace, like Undertaker dead during this match and during Rusev getting the heat on Priest during the commercial break. Priest eventually came back with kicks and a crossbody off the ropes. Rusev targeted the bad eye. Rusev is raking it and he's going after it. And he hits a Machka kick. And just like that, he gets the win. And then Rusev looks over into the camera and he does the you can't see me gesture towards Cena. This match had no heat whatsoever and was incredibly boring. Damian Priest right now is ice cold. I talked about this on my SmackDown review. I've mentioned it a few times in the last couple months. You think back to when Priest finally broke away from the Judgment Day. He and Rhea. And they were still on Raw. Right before he got moved over to SmackDown. He was red hot. Crowds were really, really amped up for him. And then he got moved, which I think was the right move because you get him away from the Judgment Day. Right now he can be on his own and you can push him as far as you want to push him. The crowds on SmackDown never took to him. And frankly, they didn't really have a whole lot for him to do that was terribly interesting. It kind of goes both ways. He has not found his footing. He's been on SmackDown now, I think, for almost a year. It has been a very cold year for Damian Priest. Even this feud now with Aleister Black, it doesn't really feel like it's doing him a whole lot of good. He goes out there, the reactions are just not there. And then I look at him in this match tonight, and like where he was on the roster, and now he's in there, and I know the bad eye, but he's in there, and he eats a kick from Rusev. Rusev's been losing so many matches here on this show, and then one kick and he beats Damian Priest. I'm like, man, you talk about a guy's stock that has fallen. That is the state of Damian Priest right now. Hopefully he can get it going soon. I don't dislike Damian Priest. I hope he can put it together, and you know, there has to be some creative cooperation there, but there's just not a whole lot going on right now. I don't want to say he has to go back to being a heel, but they're going to have to figure something out because I think they were really relying on him to be, you know, in a better position to help carry SmackDown, not carry, but, you know, be in that upper mix on SmackDown. SmackDown could sure as fuck use someone like him in that upper mix right now, but the crowd just isn't buying into it. The full buy-in is not there. So he is not moving on in the tournament. Rusev is, although who he is wrestling in the next round, we still don't know because they will not show us a bracket for this tournament. And look, If there are surprises, cool. I'm not saying you have to put a bracket up and tell us who all the surprises are, but they have shown us nothing. So I have no idea who he's wrestling in the next round. We had AJ Styles and Dragon Lee. They were in the back, and they were meeting with Adam Pearce, and Dragon Lee was all excited because GM wanted to know, do you guys have a name yet? And Dragon Lee said, oh, I got one. I got a name. And the name that he came up with was Dragones con Estilo, Dragons with Style, which is actually a pretty bad name. I'm sorry. It's a bad name. And AJ wanted to be nice about it. And he said, well, you know, we'll work on that. Pierce was like, you can workshop it. That's basically their nice way of saying your name sucks. I mean, AJ Lee is right there. I think the word they're going to get heat with CM Punk. AJ Lee is right there. If she's not going to be on the show, this is their way of getting AJ Lee on the show. Now, after they left, Maxine Dupri approached Adam Pearce, and he asked her, are you ready for Becky Lynch? And she said yes and no. Talked about training, and because she's been training in the dungeon with Natty and everything, and she says, I could train forever, but I don't think there's anything I could ever do that's ever going to make me fully feel ready. So she said, I want the match. And Pierce made it official for Madison Square Garden next Monday. It will be Becky Lynch defending the Women's Intercontinental Championship against Maxine Dupri. And Pierce left. So Becky comes from out of nowhere with a sucker punch. And I'm pretty sure she punched her in the jaw. But like at first glance, it looked like she punched her right in the throat. And then she leaned down and she told Maxine that next week, she doesn't stand a chance. You know, I was thinking about this. Should they change the title next week? There's going to be a lot of people that are going to hear me saying that, and they're going to balk like, Maxine, are you crazy? This whole run that Becky has been on, you're going to have Maxine beat her for the championship? Like, Maxine, she's made improvements, but she's still not great. And yeah, I get that. And Becky's had a pretty damn good run with that championship. And unlike the women's U.S. title, Becky has actually done a world of good for the Intercontinental title. But I look at this and I say, this championship should have been designed, and I would like to think that it was designed, for this very purpose, where you have someone like Becky who has a name, who carries it for a long time, and helps elevate it and bring it up to a certain status. But eventually, you have to tell a story with someone who is beneath her. In this case, an underdog story. Right? And the fans, I think, have bought into it. And the fans like Maxine. And Maxine has made improvements. She's not great. She's not polished. But she's better. And I think she's got the crowd solidly behind her. Is this not what this championship was designed to do? To eventually make its way over, to be transitioned over to someone who could benefit from having it. Like, Becky has built it up to a point, so now it's time for someone else to benefit from it. Is this not the right time to put that championship on someone just like a Maxine Dupri? No one is saying Maxine has to have it for 6 months, you know, or hold it as long as Becky has had it for. I think Becky's probably had it for about that long now, probably about five or 6 months. I'm not opposed. I'm not opposed to them doing a title change next week to get that big reaction in Madison Square Garden. I also think if Becky is going to be in War Games, and I think there's a very good chance that she will be, and I think we might see AJ Lee on the show next. I think we may see AJ Lee on the show next week, okay? I am pretty sure that I didn't imagine things when I saw AJ Lee signing a contract, Triple H handing her a contract and signing a contract. That was supposedly a full-time multi-year contract. So AJ is going to come back. The only question is, when and where is she going to make her return? I think that there are a couple of spots open in the War Games match, which I'm going to talk about in a little bit, that you could easily plug Becky in on one side and AJ Lee in on the other. And AJ maybe will make a return next week. Maybe AJ is that friend that Maxine was talking about a few weeks ago when she initially said, I'm not ready yet for this championship match. I need to talk to a friend to see if I'm truly ready for this. And everybody assumed that she meant Natty. But what if the friend was AJ Lee? What if AJ Lee is in Madison Square Garden next week and is there? I'm not saying she's going to interfere per se, but she could play a role in facilitating a title change. And Becky loses her championship and blames AJ for the loss, and she's just beside herself. And so now you've freed her from that title for now. Becky is on the heel side. AJ is on the babyface side. Who's to say that Becky doesn't win the belt back in a few weeks? Who's to say they don't run it back December 13th, Saturday night's main event, and Becky wins the title back? I don't see the harm in it. I'm not going to say I'm rooting for it, but if they were to do a title change next week, I think it would make sense for the story they're telling. It's the feel-good story. But I also look at it and go, Maxine has beaten Becky twice. Are they really going to beat Becky three times? Have this woman beat her three times? Or is it, you know, a case now where the chickens are coming home to roost and now it's going to swing the other way and Becky's going to get her win back? Very possible. And still, AJ may come out after the match so they could resume their feud and pick up where they left off. But this championship at some point has to be transitioned over to somebody who is actually going to benefit from it. You know, it's not intended to bounce from one big name to another. At some point, you need to have a Maxine Dupri or back to a Lyra Valkyrie or someone like that, a Roxanne Perez. Right? Roxanne would make a great Intercontinental Champion. I'm sure at some point she will have that championship. But that's what the belt should really ultimately be designed for. Now we have the World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. AJ Lee. CM Punk was out next to the ring for a promo after he was knocked out cold at the end of the show last week by a pair of brass knucks from Logan Paul. So he comes down. In the middle of his entrance, they cut to commercial. So during the commercial, he decides to walk around the ring and slap hands with people, sign some autographs. And he makes his way over to the announce desk, and he's just looking at Wade Barrett and Joe Tessitore, and he's just sort of shaking his head and laughing and mocking them because they have these new LJN figures. They have brought back the old LJNs. If you grew up a wrestling fan in the mid-80s, like 84, 85, I had a whole bunch of LJNs. I managed to hold on to a few of them. A lot of them got thrown away. I still have them in a box. They were the big rubber figures. Like they hurt. Like if you hit somebody with it, like these are giant figures. So I had a couple of Hogans and I had Jesse Ventura. They had a Vince McMahon one, Mean Gene, Bobby Heenan, Kamala, Macho Man, Hercules. So anyway, they have released a new line of four. John Cena, Hulk Hogan, which looks like the old Hogan that they released back in the 80s. Dusty Rhodes, and Logan Paul. And what I find hilarious and not surprising is that initially, when they put them on sale on Target's website, they're a Target exclusive, they all sold out except Logan Paul. Like I checked, and Logan Paul was the only one that you could actually, and still, even now, Logan, if you go on Target.com, Logan Paul is the only one that is available for purchase. Or at least when I checked like a few days ago, it was. But they announced that, I guess, on Black Friday, you can find them in Target stores. So Punk goes over to the desk and he knocks down or lays down the Logan Paul one. He takes the Dusty Rhodes one. I thought he was going to knock the Hogan one over. And he stood the Dusty figure over the Logan Paul figure, which is the way it should be. So anyway, if you ever wanted to own an LJN version of Dusty Rhodes, now you got your chance. So they come back, Punk is in the ring, and Punk is pissed off. He's not about to wait for a certain douchebag to interrupt him. He was calling him out. He's in Boston. He's dressed rather for a street fight. He's ready to go. He knew Logan Paul was a piece of garbage, but he didn't quite know how big of a piece of garbage he was until what happened last week. Punk said that Paul wasn't about to get a title shot, but he would still fight him. So Logan, he said last week, Logan had his eyes on Punk's belt. Punk, though, would put his boot up Paul's broccoli-headed millennial ass. Logan's music hit. He sauntered out on stage. He wondered why Punk was so mad, and Punk told him to stop wasting his time. Logan told Punk that he once got punched by the greatest boxer of all time, Floyd Mayweather. But that was nothing compared to getting flattened by Bronson Reed last week. Since dropping Seth Deadweight Rollins, the Vision would crack anybody who didn't conform to them. And Logan did not want to get cracked every week, he said. How the fuck are you going to get cracked every week when you're not on the show every week? What is he so worried about? He shows up fucking a couple times, he disappears for 4 months. What is this shit? I don't want to be cracked every week on TV. Motherfucker, you're not there. What are you worried about? Paul said that he thought he knew it all. But after getting hit with that tsunami splash, he said his eyes were open to a whole new vision. That was the cue. Out comes Paul Heyman, out comes Bronson Reed, out comes Bron Breakker. Heyman led his men to the ring, and he called Punk the single most unlikable person in the world. Punk had no friends. He called Punk a miserable, rotten bastard, and he couldn't be more unlikable unless his name was AJ Lee. Punk said AJ Lee would leave the four of them in a pool of their own piss and blood. But she's not here tonight, so he would do it instead. And he invited them into the ring. So Punk is standing in the ring. These men are about to enter the ring. Punk is standing there. He's outnumbered. And Jey Uso joins him. No music. Just came from out of the crowd, I guess. He just, there he was. He was in the ring, and he's standing right next to Punk. And it's the most amazing thing because everyone says, you know, Jey Uso, he's just an entrance, right? He gets a big pop for his entrance. He got no pop. No pop. He just showed up and there was like hardly any reaction. But there he is now. He's standing united with CM Punk. At least he's got one friend. So the two sides ended up brawling. Punk grabbed Heyman outside the ring by his shirt. Logan made the save, but Punk hurled him into the barricade. Bronson Reed wound up alone in the ring, and the babyfaces took shots at him because Cody Rhodes had come out to his music. Jey Uso didn't get music, but Cody got music. Because remember, Cody was there. I mentioned he was in the back. So after Cody ran down to the ring, Bronson ended up being the last of the heels all alone. They dispatched him, clotheslined him out to the floor. And so the Vision retreated. And then I'll skip ahead here because later on in the back, Punk was with Jey Uso. He was with Cody Rhodes. And Adam Pearce approached them and asked if they were okay. Punk said that he had his team, told Pearce to go tell Paul Heyman to get his. And Pearce asked if Punk was saying what I think you're saying. And Punk said, Regal! Called out Regal, and the camera panned over, and guess who happened to walk in? William Regal. And Regal looks at all of these guys. He goes, gentlemen. And he just does his signature shout, the one that we've all been waiting for, the one that I don't remember the last time I've heard him say these words, but we got it tonight. We got the old William Regal War Games. And everybody, you can hear them in the arena, popped. That was it. His job for the night was over. And Adam Pearce told them to officially prepare for war. So now we know that Cody Rhodes is going to be in War Games. There was talk about it. There was talk, well, maybe he'll defend the championship. But then on Friday, Nick Aldis suspended Drew McIntyre indefinitely. And so that looked like maybe that's going to take the match off the table. But now we know Cody Rhodes is going to be in War Games because Drew McIntyre was just suspended. Doesn't mean he can't be reinstated in the next few weeks. There's been a lot of talk about him going off and filming a movie. That's the new Highlander reboot that he was cast for. He's going to be the main character's brother. But my understanding was that Henry Cavill, who is the main character, he was injured. They pushed filming from the fall to early 2026. Unless something has changed, I don't believe filming is actually starting for another two or three months. So I don't know that McIntyre is going to be filming, you know, this month. It's entirely possible he will be reinstated in time to be a part of the War Games match. Although that would be kind of silly because he was just, why suspend him and then bring him back 2 weeks later? But I'm looking at this and I'm like, all right, the babyface team, Cody, Punk, Jay. That's who we know for sure. I've been saying for a few weeks now, Madison Square Garden feels like the return of Roman Reigns. I don't know what number this is going to be. He's made so many returns, but I'm expecting Roman Reigns to be a Madison Square Garden next week. Now, even more so, I think we'll get him back on the show next week. So you'll have Cody, you'll have Punk, you'll have Roman, right? Three big names right there. Jey Uso, and then that. So what is that? Four, right? On the heel side, you have Bron Breakker, Bronson Reed, Logan Paul. And I'm wondering, not only that, you know, we get Brock Lesnar back in War Games, and I'm wondering if we get Brock Lesnar back next week in Madison Square Garden, and then Roman comes out. So maybe it's Brock first, then Roman. Then you got your 4-on-4. And I know it's probably not going to be 4-on-4, but honestly, if you had Cody, Punk, Roman, Jay, Breaker, Reed, Logan, Lesnar, do you really need more than that? Assuming that Drew was to remain suspended, do you really need more than 4-on-4? I think 4-on-4 could work just fine. We have a 5-on-5 blood and guts match with the men on Wednesday and a 6-on-6 on the women's side. There's no law that says they both have to be the same number of people on both sides in both matches. I'm sure, though, they will not keep it 4-on-4. So if they insist on doing 5-on-5, then I think you reinstate Drew McIntyre, assuming he's available, to join the heel side. And you have The Vision, you have Logan Paul, you have Brock Lesnar, you know, doing a favor for Paul Heyman, and you have Drew McIntyre, because Cody's going to be on the other side. So it would make sense for McIntyre to be in there against Punk, Cody, Roman, Jay. And it's very easy to fill a fifth spot. You could put Jimmy in there. You could put LA Knight in there. Take your pick. I don't know that Triple H wants LA Knight in that spot, but he's had issues with The Vision, so you could absolutely plug him in there. It's a lot easier to come up with five on the babyface side, but that's how I think War Games is shaping up. Now, we had Stephanie Vaquer. We had multiple championship matches on the show today, three of them. Stephanie Vaquer defending the Women's World Championship against Raquel Rodriguez. Roxanne Perez was in Raquel's corner. Stephanie had Nikki Bella in hers. Vaquer set up for a devil's kiss early on here. Rodriguez blocked it, hoisted Stephanie up on her shoulders in an electric chair, and then dropped her face first on the turnbuckle. And as with the opening match, the crowd was dead quiet for the heel, getting the heat here during the break. Vaquer made a comeback, tried for the SVB. Just like last week, though, Raquel was just too damn big. And Vaquer tried a tornado DDT. Raquel blocked that as well and transitioned into a vertical suplex, followed by a big boot. Only got a two count. So Stephanie tried a running corner Meteora. Rodriguez blocked it. Hit a power bomb out of the corner for a two count, and Roxanne then tried to attack Vaquer. The referee's attention was diverted. Nikki, though, tossed Roxanne into the barricade. So at this point, she's, you know, providing the assist for Stephanie, which is what she was out there to do, right? There's no indication that anything's wrong, that anything's weird between the two of them, right? She throws Roxanne into the barricade. Vaquer tried a flying crossbody, and Rodriguez caught her and then hit a fallaway slam. Vaquer dodged a twisting elbow drop from Rodriguez from the middle rope, got the devil's kiss, and then won with her corkscrew moonsault off the top rope. Barely touched her, but it is a thing of beauty. So Stephanie Vaquer is still the women's world champion. Solid stuff here from these two. Raquel looked like she was out of gas by the end of this match. She was looking very tired. After the match was over, Roxanne tried to attack Vicaire. Nikki Bella, though, made the save. And she stood tall with Stephanie. Stephanie is looking in the aisleway. She's looking at her foes. But then she turns around, and Nikki had the world championship, and Nikki Bella blasts Stephanie in the head with the women's world championship. And everybody acts shocked. Everyone's booing. And Nikki is standing over her body and posing with the world championship. And then Nikki, she gets out of the ring. She's standing on the apron. And she rips her top off to reveal a black top. Not a bra, but kind of. Whatever it was, that black top underneath that had Fearless written across it. So apparently her breasts are fearless. She's just pointing to him, saying, hey, Fearless. She's a fearless woman. Look, this was the predictable turn that you would expect here. Things were very weird these last few weeks in the backstage segments with Nikki doubting herself and being all mushy and being all nice to Stephanie. Nobody in wrestling is that nice to you. Everybody is looking to take that knife and plant it right in your back. If somebody in wrestling is being nice to you, you need to knife them before they knife you. That's just the wrestling way. You can't trust these people. Stephanie is too nice. Nikki Bell has been around the block a few times. She knows the game. So she put the knife in the back, and now we're going to get Nikki Bella and Stephanie Vicaire for the Women's World Championship. Okay. I can't say that's a match that excites me, but look, Stephanie needs people to beat. Nikki Bella is a person that she can go in there and beat. Line them up, she'll knock them down. In the next match of the last Time Is Now tournament, who will wrestle John Cena at Saturday night's main event? I don't think it's going to be this guy or the other guy. It's not going to be either one of these guys. But it was Sheamus and his shitty music one-on-one against Shinsuke Nakamura and his not-so-shitty music, because they recently gave him his old music back, and his old music is actually pretty damn cool. I wish I could say the same about Sheamus's music, but I cannot. Sheamus was mostly in control through a commercial break. After the break, Nakamura hit a superplex for a two count. Nakamura threw kicks at a kneeling Sheamus, who called for more of them. Roderick says, not as fearless as Nia Jax's, though. Or Charlotte Flair's. I'm watching SmackDown on Friday, and I lost track of how many times the screen blacked out, because Charlotte was popping out of her top. And my screen blacked out tonight as well when Nia Jax was on screen, so I can only imagine what got shown. So, yes, I guess Nikki's are not quite as fearless as theirs. Theirs, they just let them fly. Nikki at least is able to contain them. So Sheamus stood up. The two of them were trading strikes. Sheamus ended up putting him down with an Irish curse, backbreaker. Sheamus got Nakamura on the apron. He hit him with the 10 beats. Went for a brogue kick. Nakamura cut him off with a sling blade. Nakamura came off the top rope. Sheamus, though, hit a lifting knee strike for a two count only. Sheamus went for an avalanche white noise. Nakamura blocked it. Hit a power bomb for two. Nakamura hit an enziguri. Sheamus, though, came right back with a flash brogue kick out of nowhere, and he got the pin. So he advances in the tournament. When the match was over, Sheamus helped Nakamura to his feet. Two of them shook hands, and Nakamura raised Sheamus' arm. So you could tell that Nakamura is a babyface now, because he didn't mist him. There was no mist. So he's back to being a babyface, in case you didn't already know. This was not the usual Sheamus banger that I've come to expect from him here on these shows. It was better than the Rusev Damian Priest match, and the fans actually started to kind of get into it towards the end. They were pretty dead for this one too, midway through, but they did manage to at least try to pull some kind of reaction out of them down the stretch with those last couple of near falls. Again, I can't remember the last time I heard a building with 16,000 plus people this quiet. you know, for a show like this. Sheamus advances. Again, we don't know if he is wrestling Rusev in the next round because we don't have a fucking bracket to look at. All we know is that he's moving on. Who he's moving on to, though, we have no idea. But look, after this, we had a couple of announcements from Adam Pearce in the back. He had the tumbler. He was reaching in and grabbing his balls. And we found out what the next two matches are going to be. Next Monday at Madison Square Garden in the John Cena tournament. And in one match, and I was like, thank God. Been waiting for this because I was talking about the combined ages of all the men that have already, you know, been announced for this tournament. How old they all are. I'm like, where's the youth? Well, we got some. We got some. The youth is coming in the form of Javon Evans, who is quite young and is quite great in his youth in NXT. And he's been very impressive all year. This has been a breakout year for him. Javon Evans is going to be wrestling the former world heavyweight champion, the returning Gunther, at Madison Square Garden next week. And I'm like, fuck! Because this is the match. I just talked about it last week. I just talked about this. I said, look, if we're not going to get, and now I guess maybe now we will possibly, but if we're not going to get like Gunther against Ilya Dragunov in the final, I want Gunther and Javon Evans in the finals of this tour. I just talked about this match. But I thought, you know, Javon is one of the up-and-coming spark plugs of NXT. When John Cena is talking about NXT talent and the next generation and the next era and opportunities, I think of someone like Javon Evans, who's been killing it. And at least if he's in the tournament, like imagine if he's like the ultimate underdog in this tournament and he makes it all the way to the end. And then he falls to Gunther, assuming Gunther is going to win, right? That could have been the finals of the tournament. So hopefully they have something much better lined up because we're getting this in the opening round. And I don't see Javon Evans making it beyond Gunther. If he beats Gunther next week, it will be the biggest upset of the year. It would be the biggest upset of this tournament. It would be the biggest upset of the entire year. I am not saying it's impossible, but I do not see that happening. I do not see Gunther returning for the first time since SummerSlam and losing to Javon Evans in the opening round of this tournament. But what a fucking win for him that would be. But I am very excited that we are getting the match. It might not be the finals, but that is going to be a great match. I am very much looking forward to that. The other match that we are getting, Solo Sikoa. Yes. Solo Sikoa. That means we might have the MFTs on Raw next week. Solo Sikoa is going to be wrestling a mystery man because Adam Pearce decided to pull a Nick Aldis and he looked at his ball and he said, you know what? I think we're going to wait. We're going to wait for Madison Square Garden next week and we'll all find out who the name is going to be. And my first thought was Randy Orton. I think it might be Randy Orton. Randy Orton being in this tournament would actually make a lot of sense, even though he already wrestled Cena. And they billed it as their last time ever, right? Last time ever match. I think it could be Randy Orton. Now, they're in New York City. So if there had to be a New York tie-in, then the only name that I could think of that would be a, you know, like a legitimate surprise would be Matt Cardona. He's a Long Island guy. Cardona, I think, would get a nice reaction in New York. You know, Cardona against Solo Sikoa, I mean, is a match that doesn't really do anything for me. I don't know that I could put anybody in that spot, and that match would necessarily do anything for me. But that Randy Orton was my first thought. I mean, unless he died and nobody told us and they're keeping it a secret, like, I don't know where the fuck he is. But you have a tournament to decide on the final ever opponent for John Cena. There were a lot of people at the beginning of this year who were already talking about, when are we going to get John Cena and Randy Orton, right? And we got it at Backlash. But there were a lot of people saying he has to be Cena's final opponent. It's like Tanahashi is wrestling his final match at the Tokyo Dome. We just found out, Wrestle Kingdom. Tanahashi and Okada. Tanahashi is Okada's greatest rival. Okada is Tanahashi's greatest rival. it makes sense one last time to put the two of them, who defined an era in New Japan, back in the ring one last time after all the classic battles they had. In the comment I made on the podcast yesterday, episode 937, I said, it's like John Cena and Randy Orton, except good. Because there were a lot of John Cena, Randy Orton matches that were not that good. But you would think he would at least be in the tournament. So I'm thinking maybe this is the spot for him. But I'm going to reiterate what I said last week one more time. If Obafemi is in this tournament, and if John Cena is going into Saturday night's main event as a champion, Obafemi should win the tournament and then beat John Cena to win that title. And then get a nice dominant run as the Intercontinental Champion. That's how you debut him. You want to strap the rocket to somebody? That's how you do it. Wins a tournament. I assume the finals will be at Survivor Series. Retires John Cena in his final match. Starts a dominant championship run. Today's episode is sponsored by Factor. You know, I just had to turn the clocks back for daylight savings, which means it's getting darker earlier now. But now that the days are shorter, it's even tougher to find time each night to cook dinner, which is why I love Factor. Their chef-prepped, dietitian-approved meals make it easy to stay on track and enjoy something delicious, no matter how hectic the season gets or how short the days might feel. With Factor, you can choose from a wider selection of weekly meal options, including premium seafood choices like salmon and shrimp, at no extra cost. Enjoy even more GLP-1 friendly meals and new Mediterranean options packed with protein and fats that are actually good for you. And for the first time, try Asian-inspired meals with bold flavors influenced by China, Thailand, and more. From more choices to better nutrition, that's why 97% of customers say that Factor helped them live a healthier life. You can feel the difference no matter what your routine may be. I've had plenty of Factor meals from the first box I had delivered to my house, and I can honestly say I've never been let down by any of them. Yeah, you know, obviously I have certain dishes that I prefer over others, but I can always expect a quality meal without the hassle involved in cooking, or should I say attempting to cook for myself. And looking at some of their upcoming menu options, like, you know, for the week of November 15th, now that's a great time to try them out if you never have before. If you're looking for a keto-friendly option, check out the herb shredded chicken and butternut squash meal. If you're more calorie conscious, you can try the grilled pork chop and wild rice dish. Those are just a few of the options that they're offering. It's good to have options. Let Factor do the cooking for you. You do the eating with this exclusive offer for Solomonster listeners. Eat smart at factormeals.com/solomonster50off and use code solomonster50off to get 50% off your first box plus free breakfast for 1 year. That's code SOLOMONSTER50OFF at factormeals.com for 50% off your first box, plus free breakfast for 1 year. Get delicious, ready-to-eat meals delivered with Factor. Offer only valid for new Factor customers with code and qualifying auto-renewing subscription purchase. They close the show with the Women's Tag Team Championship match, Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss, defending their titles against Asuka and Kairi Sane. RDH says it's going to be Joe Hendry. I figure Hendry's going to be in the tournament, so you think he'll be in that spot? Well, you know what? Madison Square Garden, they would pot for Joe Hendry. Yeah, you know, I guess if you're going for the pop at MSG, Hendry will get a pop, and you could have him beat Solo Sikoa. I mean, Joe Hendry going in there and getting Samoan spiked in 2 minutes would be a fucking travesty. So, I mean, if he's in there, he has to at least win, move on to the next round. But again, the Obafemi thing, I'm adamant about that. If that title is on the line, it needs to be him. So this main event here, this was another dead match where the crowd was dead silent for most of it. The challengers got the better of Bliss. They had her down at ringside going into an early break. Late in the match, Charlotte put Asuka in the figure four. Kairi went up top. She was going to go for an insane elbow to break it up. On her way down, Bliss kind of caught her and then delivered the Sister Abigail DDT. Flair bridged up into a figure eight on Asuka when Nia Jax and Lash Legend fresh off of their new pairing on Friday night. They appeared at ringside and they yanked Charlotte's arms out to break the hold. Somehow, Jessica Carr, who was staring at Asuka, missed all of this and did not initially see it. So Kairi took out Bliss at ringside, and then she went back up top, and Asuka had Charlotte in the ring in that kind of scorpion death drop type position. She was holding her. Kairi came off the top with the insane elbow to a standing Charlotte, and Kairi pinned Charlotte Flair. Pins Charlotte Flair to win the women's tag team titles. Bobby Means says, Mike Santana. I did ask the question. I said, it is New York City. You know what? Forget Cardona. Mike Santana. Mike Santana against Solo Sikoa. That makes a lot of sense. Unless, this would be horrible. I mean, look, it's one thing for Joe Hendry as the champion of TNA to go in there and have a 2-minute match at WrestleMania and get RKO'd, because it's Randy Orton, you know, and it's WrestleMania. But if Mike Santana, as the TNA World Heavyweight Champion, goes in there, debuts on Raw next week, and goes in there and loses to Solo Sikoa, what a fucking terrible decision that would be. That would be terrible. Then you may as well just plug somebody else in that spot. But I like that. I like the idea of Mike Santana getting the spot, getting a nice reaction, and at least getting a win in the opening round. That would be great. Santana's awesome. But we have new women's tag team champions, Asuka and Kairi Sane, and they protected Alexa, and they actually pinned Charlotte. Charlotte took the losing fall in this match. Now, Alexa chased Asuka and Kairi out of the ring. Bliss stood up to Lash Legend and Nia Jax. They laid her out. Asuka and Kairi came back to the ring. They joined in the attack, and so now you're just waiting. Right? When are they showing up? There's two people who you know are about to come out. And sure enough, Io Sky's music hits. She runs out. And now that I think back about this, this is one of those wrestling tropes that just makes me laugh. Doesn't make me angry, it just makes me laugh. Rhea Ripley and Io Sky were taken out by the Kabuki Warriors several weeks ago. Rhea has a broken nose. We haven't seen them on TV in a few weeks. So we are to believe that they were in the back the entire time. And they have a bone to pick with the Kabuki Warriors, by the way. And they see Nia Jax and Lash Legend getting involved here. So the first thing they did was they didn't come out. They allowed Charlotte and Alexa to lose, which gave the Kabuki Warriors the tag team titles. That's number one. Number two, Io's music hits. Io comes out to try to even the score. Why wouldn't Rhea come out with Io? Is she that self-absorbed that she needs her own entrance? Like, here comes Io Sky. The numbers are still against them. Where's Rhea? What is she in the back doing? We need a camera in the back so we can see, like, what is... I just realized, like, why didn't they both come out together? It's just so ridiculous, just so they could hit her music. It's just so stupid. So anyway, Io... fucking love wrestling. So Io runs down to the ring. She low-bridged Lash, who went flying out of the ring. And she laid out Asuka and Kairi with a double springboard dropkick. Io went after Nia. This is where the screen blacked out for a second because Nia almost came out of her top. And so thankfully they blacked out the screen. So Lash Legend gets back into the ring and Lash Legend absolutely demolishes Io Sky with a forearm shot. I mean, she fucking blasted her with this forearm. And so now the five heels are continuing the beatdown until finally we hear this is my brutality. And here comes Rhea Ripley. Now she can get a proper entrance. And Rhea Ripley runs out. She's got the face mask on because she's got the broken nose. She runs into the ring. The baby faces clear the ring until Rhea gets Kairi up for a razor's edge. and she tosses this woman in a razor's edge position out over the top rope onto the pile, but she kind of folded on her way. It was a scary landing, and she got folded up a little bit on her way down. Rhea called for a microphone. She got on the ropes, and she screamed, "War Games." Not quite the same emphatic "War Games" that William Regal did, but she screamed "War Games," and that's how they went off the air. And you look at the potential teams here for a women's War Games, what do we have? We have the women who are out there. We had Rhea Ripley, Io Sky, Charlotte Flair, and Alexa Bliss. That's four. On the heel side, you have Asuka, Kairi Sane, Nia Jax, and Lash Legend. So, I mean, you could say the same thing about the women's match, in all honesty. These matches don't need to be 5-on-5 this year. You could do 4-on-4. But they're going to do 5-on-5. So who do you plug in on the men's side? Who do you plug in on the women's side? Is it going to be Becky Lynch joining the heel squad and AJ Lee joining the babyface squad? I believe the answer is yes. And those are the biggest names that you could plug in there. I think you want names in this match. So I think it's going to end up being Becky and AJ. You could plug in, though. I mean, theoretically, you could plug in Stephanie, who is your women's world champion. And then you can also plug in Nikki Bella on the heel side. I don't know about you. I have no issue with Stephanie. Would love to see her at Survivor Series. I don't want to see Nikki Bella in War Games. There's no need to see Nikki Bella in a War Games match. So I would rather it be Becky and AJ Lee. And I think that's the way you do it. The more I think about this, the more I think there's a pretty good chance we're going to see Maxine win that championship next week. I'm leaning that way. But then I just come back to the whole, like, she's already got two wins over Becky, so Becky's kind of due for a win, but then you can also do, like, a post-match beatdown deal, and then, you know, you hear, "Let's light it up," and out comes AJ. I guess either way works. But that's, I think, what we're looking at in women's War Games. You know, basically Team AJ and Team Becky. I think that's the way to go with it. It also, you know, as far as the result of the match here, it feels like the right time to take the belts off Charlotte and Alexa. I maintain they didn't do enough with that team. Like, storyline-wise, the skits and segments they could have done, it was very, very lazy. Every time they did some sort of backstage segment, that's all it was. It was a backstage segment. It wasn't terribly funny or entertaining. They were an odd couple pair. You could have had fun with it. You could have had them, because Alexa was all about friendship. We're friends. Remember the whole beginning of this, and Charlotte couldn't say the F word. She just could not bring herself to call themselves friends. This is not a friendship. So, like, all the things that you could have done, like Alexa taking Charlotte out, trying to teach Charlotte how to be a normal functioning human being and not a robot and not the queen, and they could go get ice cream. They could do some other bullshit together, you know, but they didn't put any effort into this. It's such a missed opportunity. So now they've been partners for a while. They've been champions for a few months, and it's like, okay, you've pretty much done all that you can do. You have a very, very bad situation right now on SmackDown where Jade Cargill doesn't have a whole lot of competition. As I said last week, you almost have to go with individual matches. Jade and Alexa, Jade and Charlotte. Jade and Charlotte, they flat out teased that on Friday night. So you know we're going to get that soon. But Charlotte and Alexa are going to be more useful right now as challengers for Jade because Jade needs competition. Bianca is nowhere to be found. Jade is wrestling fucking B-Fab on SmackDown. I mean, really, on SmackDown this Friday, she needs competition. It's the right time to split them up, or even if they're not split up per se, to kind of bring them back into the, you know, the women's division from a singles perspective. I think the timing for that is right. Because Jade needs some credible people to work with. Alexa's been a multiple-time world champion. Charlotte, I mean, need I say more? What is she, a 13-time champion, 14-time champion? This was a very newsworthy show. Very dead crowd for most of the matches, but they peaked. They were there for the John Cena stuff. Excuse me. And when the John Cena stuff was over, they basically sort of tuned out. What do they call it with old people? They sunset. The crowd sunset. That's what it felt like. But you can't say that it wasn't a newsworthy show. Cena wins the Grand Slam. We have a new Intercontinental Champion. We had two matches in the tournament. We had two more matches in the tournament announced. We had a women's world title match that ended with a heel turn by Nikki Bella. We have new women's tag team champions, two War Games matches that have come into focus. So there was a lot that happened on the show tonight, which is good. That's what I want to see. I want to see things happening. I don't want to feel like I'm watching these shows and I'm watching them on reruns or repeat. You know what I mean? Like, I want to know that things are happening, things are moving along, things are interesting. But man, like, if you take the John Cena stuff out of this show, not good. After December 13th, they're not going to have the Cena creative crutch to lean on anymore. They're not going to have this tournament. They're not going to have the Grand Slam. They're not going to have John Cena coming out and cutting promos. They're going to have to stand on their own two feet. I hope they're ready for that. But the Cena stuff is really what carried the day here on the show. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll. See what you guys thought of Raw. From Boston, just shy of 85% thumbs up for tonight's show, 15% thumbs down for tonight's show. You know, I saw some people, including someone in the chat just now. Sheldon, I agree with you. Sheamus does need to win the Intercontinental Championship, without a doubt. But I did see some people who said, well, Sheamus should win the tournament. And if Cena is the Intercontinental Champion, you can have Sheamus win his first IC title by beating John Cena and retiring John Cena. Let me just make this clear. Sheamus is not retiring John Cena. Sheamus should not retire John Cena. There are better people for that spot. And I say that as a fan of Sheamus. I think Sheamus should absolutely win that title at some point. December 13th is not the time to do it. When Sheamus eventually wins that championship that he has never held before, the one title that means the world that he wants to hold so badly before he retires, it's unfair to him if the moment comes on a night that is not about him. It's about John Cena. And so you take away from Sheamus's moment. It's the only real story he has left, outside of his own retirement tour eventually. I don't know why you would want to give that away and do that on December 13th when it's not about him. I think that's the absolute wrong move to make. Save that for a WrestleMania moment for him. You don't do that shit on December 13th. So no, I don't think Sheamus is the right person to be retiring John Cena that night. But hey, you want to send Sheamus deep into this tournament and have him wrestle Gunther again, or have him and Ilya Dragunov go at it if Dragunov ends up in there? I'm fine with that. I think that's great. It's all about timing. Timing for Sheamus on that is not right. That is not the time to be doing that. All right, let's take a look at your super chats. Got a lot of questions in here. Vorpal Bender with a $9.99. Hey, Solomonster, congrats on 18 years. Thank you, brother. Thank you very much. Your words at the beginning of your recent podcast were very encouraging. As someone who wants to start streaming, it is what I needed to hear. Much love. That's why I said it. I get a lot of questions from people all the time, and, you know, people who are new to podcasting or streaming or thinking about getting into it, but they're not sure. You're going to get into it. Just make sure you're getting into it for the right reasons. But everything I said, I meant 100%. If you didn't hear what I said at the beginning of the podcast, it is worth going back and checking out. I think it's a good message that could be helpful to a lot of people. So I'm glad that you found some value in it. Thank you, brother. We got Josh Worthington. Cena being the Grand Slam champion was predicted, but it definitely brought a tear in my eye to see John Cena win his final title in WWE. Yeah, that's it. No more championships. Holiday says, hi, Solo. Cena winning the IC title will elevate its status. At least he will hold it for a month, except for the 2 weeks if he had won it at Survivor Series. We'll get more appearances with him holding the belt. Good call. I don't have an issue with them putting it on him temporarily, but it's not going to elevate its status beyond these few weeks. It's not. You need someone like, look what Becky Lynch is doing with the women's IC title. That's a sustained push with a top star who is here each week, is working with the newer faces on the roster. That's how you elevate a championship. John Cena, just him merely holding it, that in and of itself will not elevate that title. But if he drops it to somebody new, that win will mean a lot to that person. It will have nothing to do with the title. It will have everything to do with them working with John Cena. There's a difference there. There's a distinction. So I see what you're saying. It's really not going to do much to elevate that championship. It's really not. And Cena's not going to be around any longer than he would have otherwise been around. He's going to be here next week. He's going to be at Survivor Series. And then he's got one last match. And that's it. So I don't know what you're talking about as far as him making appearance. Yeah, he'll make an appearance next week and in San Diego. And that's cool. But that in and of itself doesn't elevate the championship. Toya with a 5. Says, I'm on a search to find some F's to give for a feud between Nikki and Stephanie. Wish me luck. I wish you all the luck in the world on your expedition. I hope you have all the tools you need. I hope you have the pickaxe, shovel. Tell me what you find. Duff's Vids, for you and others, what location do you use for Netflix on ExpressVPN? Mine keeps freezing and is pixelated. I don't have any issues at all. I use, there's a UK server. UK Docklands, I think it's called. Sometimes I'll use as a German server, sometimes a Canadian one. Usually when I watch SmackDown, I think I watch on a Canadian server, but like tonight, I was using the UK Docklands server. Had no issues. Give it a try. Arabian Night 2000. LA feuds with Vision for 6 months and now not in War Games in favor of Cody randomly and a yeet entrance. Fuck Triple H. LA needs to leave in a year when his deal is up. Where do you think he's going to go? Do you think LA Knight is somebody that Tony Khan is going to push to the moon in a way that Triple H has not? I don't know. I don't see that happening. So, I mean, that would be my question to you. He could leave, sure. He has every right to be frustrated with the way he's been used, but I don't know. Where do you think he's going to go that he's going to have all this success on the level that he would have in WWE? That's the issue I see. Like, where does he go? Back to the NWA. Yeah, Sheldon says back to the NWA. Shoes of a champion. Shoes of a champion.
Yeah.
We need a sequel to that Shoes of a Champion promo. Also, he says, Cena, Roman, Cody, Punk, and Yeet. On paper is cool, but as a War Games match, it'll be slow and boringly safe. And their combined entrances will be longer than the... Well, that is undoubtedly true. Fucking entrances will be longer than the match itself. B-Man the Champ. Hey, Solo, you mentioned that you were watching Alice in Borderland on your Friday stream so far. What do you think? And what was your favorite game? Well, I mean, if we're talking about all three seasons, because I've now finished all three. I wrapped up the new season. I think out of all three seasons, there was a game in season two. I forgot the name of it. Beauty contest, maybe. It was the one where they were seated, and if you didn't answer the question correctly, you had acid poured on your head. That one was pretty wicked. If we're talking about the new season, there was the game with the pipe bombs. They would kick the pipe bomb, and then they would have to grab it and bring it back to the base. Probably that one. I enjoyed it very much. This season was not as good as the first two, but I really, really liked the show. I think I might actually have liked it a little bit more than Squid Game. Andre Jefferson. Does it look like we are getting Sheamus against Cena at Saturday night's main event for the Intercontinental title? No. No, it does not. Nor should we. Like I said, it's the wrong move to make. I just don't. It'd be cool to see him and Cena again. I'm not saying I don't want to see that, but not in the finals. The Sheltered Kid. Just rewatched your review for WrestleMania 39. Do you think it was a mistake for Cody to lose to Roman at 39, or do you think differently? I still think it was a mistake. Everything worked out well. Everything worked out well, but I don't really feel any differently than I did that night. Duff's Vids. That's tough. Sorry to hear that. I'm on the moon, and there is nowhere to get a beer. There is no space bar. Just for forcing me to have to pause to read that without any spaces in the sentence, you get a boo, you suck. Just for that alone. We got Robert. What are your thoughts on Cena being the fifth man in War Games? I think it's very possible. I'm not against it. I just don't see what else he would be doing on the show. I don't know what that would be. If you assume Rey and Dom are going to have a match in San Diego, but you know what? Maybe they run back Cena and Dom. You know, maybe Meltzer was not wrong about that match actually happening at Survivor Series. Only at Survivor Series, Dom wins the belt back in San Diego with the idea that in San Diego, he actually might be kind of cheered. You know, not that Cena would be booed, but I think in San Diego, you know Dom's going to at least get some cheers. Then we don't have to worry about Cena having the title for his last match. Duff's Vids, what do you call it when someone kidnaps a pig? Yoink. MacTub. I'm sick of Triple H putting himself over. I still can't believe he made Cody break kayfabe to call him out at WrestleMania 40. Kicking and screaming not to come out. Yeah, Triple H, he was enjoying being out there for that opening segment, wasn't he? Also, he says, better overall performer, Y2J or Triple H? Overall performer, Jericho, just because he was more entertaining. He reinvented himself a whole bunch of times. And probably his best run was actually as a more serious performer in 2008. But even going back to the conspiracy theorists in WCW and when he initially came to WWE and, you know, he was always just entertaining to watch. Had a lot of longevity in the business, working in different promotions. Had a lot of success working in different promotions. You know, Triple H, big star, very talented, in one company. Could he have replicated that success anywhere else? We'll never know. But Jericho did. Jericho proved it. MGM Ballin is with us tonight. He is ballin' with a $20 super chat. Wasn't going to try to go to Madison Square Garden next week, but I see some tickets went down $20. LOL. Oh, look at that. They went down from 400 to 380. Huh? But Gunther versus Javon is going to go crazy, so I'm tempted. Plus, my last chance to see Cena live, of course. Love you, Solo. Hey, look, if you could afford it and you can grab a ticket, I would go. Cena's last time ever in Madison Square Garden. Plus, you get to see a Gunther-Javon Evans match and a mystery man against Solo Sikoa. We'll see if it's Joe Hendry or Randy Orton or who it ends up being. If you can grab a ticket to the show, I would take it because you're going to look back on it and go, man, I should have gone. Probably going to get a Roman Reigns return. If you want to see the return of the OTC 1, or would this be OTC 2? Although he's had more than two returns. Maybe it's OTC 4? Do I have an OTC 5? Hey, Boots is with us. I'm going to get to Boots here in a second. MacTub, given his foundational impact in main events and iconic matches against the Andre Savage Warrior Rock, do you think Hogan is worthy of the Mr. WrestleMania tag? Sure. There would be no WrestleMania if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan. It was built on the back of Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan main evented most of the first 9 WrestleManias. That's a lot. And I know now Roman, I think, has surpassed him for WrestleMania main events, which is, you know, kind of bullshit because now there's 2 nights instead of 1, but whatever. So, now, when you think of, like, Mr. WrestleMania, you think of Hogan, you think of Shawn Michaels, you think of The Undertaker. Those are the names you think of. Maybe Brett. Brett's had some classic WrestleMania matches. Duff's Viz, what do you call a cult that's hard to get into? Difficult. That might be the best one that I have seen from you in months. Difficult. That one was great. Mr. Righteous. I'm glad I finally got to see Cena live and win the Grand Slam. Also, today is officially recognized as John Cena Day in Massachusetts. Well, that's cool. The whole state, huh? Not just the West Newbury. It's the whole state of Massachusetts. Depth to Dust, which scenario would happen first? Vince McMahon coming back to WWE or the Colorado Rockies facing the Los Angeles Angels in the World Series? Vince McMahon coming back to WWE. I believe he'll be there on December 13th. Probably not on camera, but I think he'll be there. Dry Chicken says, congratulations to John Cena for being a Grand Slam champion. And we got our boy Aaron, that first red bomb that came in. Happy 18th, Solo. Proud to say I've been a listener for 14 of those years. Loved your opening to 937. Take nothing for granted. Thanks for keeping mine and so many others' love for pro wrestling going. I hope you know the impact that you have had on our lives over these years. I love hearing that. I appreciate that very much. And sticking with me for 14 years, listening to me for 14 years, that's a long time. So that means a lot to me. Thank you, Aaron. I love you, brother. Base Beer says, fireballs in 2025. I don't know what that's in reference to, but I'm open to having a shot of fireball at some point. I wanted a shot of Fireball at the end of that SmackDown show on Friday night. I just didn't have any. I don't keep any stocked. Duff's Vids had to return my pet duck. He was addicted to quack. It's not quite the difficult one, but it's not bad. Dude here, 73. $15 super chat. I was watching Survivor Series from 87 on the Vault last night. So was I. You were there too? I was on the live stream. I wasn't participating in the chat, but I was following along in the chat. I came in for the last half of the show. I think I came in during the... I missed the women's match with like the Jumping Bomb Angels. I came in the middle of the one that had the Hart Foundation and Butch Reed and those guys. Said it made me miss the 5-on-5 Survivor Series matches. I feel like both War Games matches this year would be much better under the old format. I happen to agree with you a lot that the ones they've set up for this year, especially on the men's side, it just feels forced to me, and I feel like the elimination format would work better in this case. So I don't disagree with you on that. Chris O'Neill, does Sheamus beat Cena for the IC title? No, he does not. Duff's Vids, what happens when a woman does Kegels and steroids at the same time? A gynecologist loses a finger. Why do boys fart louder than girls? They can't stop talking long enough to build pressure. I'm still trying to figure out that first one. I'm lost. I know I'm missing something here. Maybe a finger. Aaron with another 10. Boy, he wasn't done yet. I love LA Knight, but I have zero faith in Triple H that he'll put him in War Games. Even if he's announced, I still won't believe it. You shouldn't, because he would be the one who gets taken out the week before. They would announce him next week and then like fucking have the Vision. Like 8 tsunami splashes, and then he's out of War Games. Big Hoss with a 5. Thoughts on Melo answering the U.S. challenge, but Trick attacks him beforehand and wins the championship. Rerun the NXT feud with the roles reversed for WrestleMania. I don't hate that idea, but I would not be taking the belt off of Dragunov yet. If you're suggesting doing that anytime in the near future, I would not be doing that. I'd be okay with them running back the Melo and Trick feud, though, on the main roster. Oh, so is that a Kegel? See, I didn't know what a Kegel was. That's why that joke didn't work on me. That sounds like something that you know, your rabbi would tell you to eat. Aaron with a $20 super chat. If it's WWE Avengers in War Games, kind of want them to squeeze Randy in there. Fuck Yeet Man. Randy doesn't make sense, but nothing this company does make sense. Let's just have fun at this point, especially if Cena is there. Yeah, you're going to make that babyface team so powerful that, I mean, heels don't stand a chance unless you have Brock on that team. Then maybe they do. Brock's not really a team player, though. I mean, I still think he probably ends up in the match, but it's still a little weird if he does, just seeing him on someone's team. It's not really a team guy. Phil with a 1999. What's going on, Phil? I was watching the Sid Vicious Bill Goldberg match from Halloween Havoc 1999 on the WCW Vault. Sid Vicious entrance gives me rock / synthwave vibes. Okay, so if that is the music that I am assuming they used, that's a production track. They dub in a lot of music sometimes. The dubbed in music that they use for Sid, I actually think is really good. That's like the only time you'll ever hear me saying this, because a piece of my soul dies a little bit every time I have to listen to Rick Rude come out with that god-awful, fucking terrible dubbed-in music they put in for him, which I fucking hate. But the Sid song is actually pretty good. The thing I don't understand about the Rick Rude thing, if they don't have the rights to his WWF music, I don't know why they don't just dub in his WCW music, because they use that. Apparently they have no issue using that. His WCW music is actually pretty good. Why not just use that? Why not just dub that in? Like, the music they use for him is just so bad. Oh my God, it's just god awful. Just don't know why they insist on just constantly using it. Dry Chicken says, during AW Blood and Guts, high fluoride acid will be used. Body parts will be flying around. And flamethrowers will be out. Let's get ready for TVMA. Dynamite. Also, let's order Triple H Bake. Well, look, I mean, it's Blood and Guts with Jon Moxley, so I think you kind of know what to expect going into it. Aaron with a 5 says, Javon against Gunther will be the best TV match of the year. Give them 20 minutes in the main event. Yeah, I don't think they're giving them the main event at Madison Square Garden. I think they're going to kill it if they give them enough time next week, though. I think they'll kill it. Gunther may kill him. I think one chop may disintegrate Javon Evans. C's says, fuck Hendry, give me Jeff Hardy in Madison Square Garden. Jeff Hardy against Solo Sikoa? Jeff's a little banged up right now. I don't know if Jeff is physically going to be able to be in that match. Get a huge reaction, though, I'll tell you that. If he comes out. But yeah, his neck is a little sore coming out of that match with Dark State. Alfonso with a 999. Fans in Boston cheering Triple H like he's a god, knowing how bad he's underutilized talent and how bad these shows have been. At least Raw was good tonight. Well, Triple H, I guess he had to come out and babyface himself, because everybody was beating up on him after that terrible, god-awful show on Friday. He knew coming out here with Cena ready to come out at the beginning was going to get a big reaction. Holiday says, if Gunther beats Cena for the Intercontinental title at Saturday night's main event, do you see a WrestleMania match where Sheamus puts his career on the line to get a shot, one last shot at Gunther and the title? If Gunther retires Cena, it builds upon their story and the feud. Look, I would love to get another Gunther and Sheamus match. I'm not against it. I still don't think that Gunther needs to have that championship. But if they could tell that story the right way, there is a way to tell that story that is very effective. And that would be one way to do it, where Sheamus feels like, you know what? Gunther is aware of how much it means to him, and he could just say no. I've already beaten you before multiple times. The answer is no. And just get Sheamus to a point where he is so desperate and he feels that the sands in the hourglass are running out on his own career, that he is willing to put that career on the line for one last opportunity against Gunther. And you do that match at WrestleMania, and you are going to have a match that will steal the show. That will steal the entire weekend. That's the only way that works. If that's the story, if that's the destination, you can make that work. And then Sheamus has to win. Arabian Knight says, the 5,000 on Wednesday will be louder than the sellout tonight. You're probably right. I mean, outside of the opening segment, they were pretty fucking loud at the beginning of the show. Outside of that, you're not wrong. think in Greensboro, the sickos, man. I mean, the ones that are really, really into it, they tend to be loud. Duff's Vid says, has John Cena done everything that could be done in WWE? Royal Rumble winner, WrestleMania main eventer, 17-time champion, Grand Slam champion. You forgot Money in the Bank? He won Money in the Bank. He never won King of the Ring. So he did not do everything that there was to do. He never won King of the Ring. MacTub, does peak Cena have anything over Rock Austin for you personally besides longevity? And how do you compare Hogan and Cena? I mean, Hogan and Cena were kind of similar for their respective generations. You know, that baby phase that Vince, you know, really got his hooks in and made the face of the company and appealed to the kids and sold merch. They both did a lot of Make-A-Wish stuff. You know, there was a lot of similarities there. Very limited in what they can do in the ring as compared to some of the other people on the roster. They were not necessarily the ones going out there and having the best matches all the time, but they were the most over. Well, with Cena, most of the time. There were times where Cena was not the only one who was over at that level, but he was pushed above a lot of people regardless, because that was Vince's guy. So, I mean, they compare pretty closely, I would say. Does peak Cena have anything over Rock or Austin? I mean, for me personally, I mean, Cena, when he would go to war with somebody on the microphone, I mean, he was as good as anybody. Stylistically, his promos were different than Rock and Austin, but he could hang with them on the mic. But I mean, is there anything that for me personally, I look at and go, okay, I've got Cena over Rock and Austin? No, not really. Bass Bear is Salt and Pepper, my favorite rock band. Okay. The Seanathon. I agree about Priest. The only thing that stands out in 2025 is pissing off Jesse Ventura on Saturday night's main event so much that we have not seen him since. If he doesn't show up on December 13th in DC, then we know for sure that he's done. Boots, the Intercontinental title is old as time. What if both Cena and the IC title retire on the same night? Well, I think that would be a terrible idea. They tried that once with the Intercontinental title. They tried to retire it and get rid of it. It didn't work. MGM ballin' quack is how Tony Soprano said crack. So a great joke. That's true, actually. It's also, if you remember how he called the Vipers. Remember that gang that him and Christopher ran into that one time? We're with the Vipers. We're with the Vipers. 89 Tech says, just joined the stream. Could you summarize what's going on with Cena's retirement storyline now that he is the Intercontinental Champion? There's not a whole lot going on with his storyline. I mean, he's got, if he wrestles next week and at Survivor Series, he's got 3 matches left. The only question is, when does he drop the belt? Do they have him go all the way to the end and drop the belt there? Do they have him retire as the champion? Like, what are they going to do? That's really the only story. I think there's a pretty good chance he'll end up in War Games. There's still some spots open. So that's where we're at. There's not a whole lot left with Cena. What are the questions that we have left with John Cena? Where are we now as we sit here on November 11th? We know he's the Intercontinental Champion. The question now is, how long does he hold it? Does he retire with it? Does he drop it in his last match? Does he get into his first War Games match? Is Brock Lesnar on the opposing side? Does he get a measure of revenge on Brock for what happened to WrestlePalooza? Does he win his final match? Does he do the honors on the way out? Those are the only questions left, really, as far as John Cena goes. And who is going to win this tournament? and Warhawk Rambo. If John Cena is Superman in WWE, then Brock Lesnar is Doomsday. Breaking backs? I could see that. Duff's Vids. I'm really excited for the Amateur Autopsy Club I just joined. Wednesday is open mic night. Where do you come up with these? Hey, there's Vince. MGM Ballin says, I haven't gotten up to that episode yet. I'm in season 4. Just watched episode where... Bobby Bacala. His wife died in an accident. Brutal but incredible show. The Sopranos is it's the greatest show ever made. Do my top 3 shows. It's always right there. Nothing like it. Especially in those later seasons when you know things are just spiraling out of control. That sense of dread. You always wonder like who's going to get whacked. But like there's always this just looming sense of dread and anxiety. And it's a show where it's not like a movie where or even some TV shows where they add a soundtrack into the background. That's what kind of annoys me about like Law and Order now. We don't necessarily need fucking music in the background, dramatic music for every scene. That sort of overwhelms the senses. Just let it play out. You know what I mean? You don't always need music every scene. It kind of ruins it. Leopoldo, Cena's legacy won't be cemented until he wins the 24/7 title. Well, if he can go fish it out of the garbage can, then he can hold it. Arabian Nights, sucks we'll never get MJF and Cena in a feud and promos. Yeah, imagine Cena in his prime. Prime Cena, the one who was cutting those promos on Rock back when he first feuded with Rock. 2011, 2012 Cena. Cutting promos with MJF. That would have been something. Devin from New Jersey. Will Solo miss John Cena? I'll miss him. I think it'll be one of those cases where as time goes on, you know, they say absence makes the heart grow fonder. I don't know how the product is going to be. Might get progressively worse. I think I'll miss him more once he's gone for a while. You know, he was never like one of my favorites, but I'll miss him. Leopoldo says, Sopranos and Breaking Bad. Toss up for the best show ever. Yep, Breaking Bad's another one. Riveting TV. I saw the first episode of this new Vince Gilligan show, by the way, that just premiered on Apple TV. Pluribus, which has Rhea Seehorn, who was one of the feature characters in Better Call Saul. She's the title character. I've only seen the first episode, and it's wild. I'm going to watch episode 2 later this week. So I'm looking forward to that. And then, what is it? A few more weeks, right? We got part 1. I guess they're cutting it up into 3 parts. But we have the first part of the final season of Stranger Things coming up at the end of the month. All right, I think I'm all caught up now with your questions, and we hit the goal, the main goal, the likes goal. A long time ago, 544 likes, which means you're getting your one round tonight. We got to make it a good one. We get one round to be the booker. Let's make the most of it, shall we? Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
snap my fingers, and here we go.
Be the booker.
Ah, the White Caps episode. Yes, the White Caps episode in The Sopranos. Many people say that is the best episode. Kratos says, Apple TV is the one major streamer I don't have. I don't have it either. All right, be the booker. Now, this is how you start. This is how you kick Be the Booker off with the Hart Foundation. Bret the Hitman Hart, Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Two-time tag team champions. The Hart Foundation are going to be defending those titles against the Big Boss Man and the African Dream, Akeem. I just picture Akeem right now. He's doing the dance in the ring. Dancing to some Jive Soul, bro. You imagine them doing this gimmick today? My God. I still remember, I don't know what Coliseum, actually it wasn't a Coliseum video. There was a videotape that they put out for the Pile Driver album. And they show the music video for Jive Soul, bro. Coming out of the music video, I think going into it and coming out of it, the wraparounds, is Slick sitting in a restaurant somewhere eating a bucket of fried chicken. And as they talk about Akeem, the African Dream. That was the 80s, WWF. He made the most of the gimmick, though. He always looked so happy when he was out there dancing around. We have Ivory, former women's champion, former glow sensation, Ivory, Lisa Moretti. She's going to be going one-on-one with Cora Jade. How are we feeling about this clash of the eras here? Ivory and Cora Jade. It's kind of interesting. A little then and now. Okay, here we go. It all comes down to this. We have the American Badass, the Undertaker, in his ABA gear. Against the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And even though we didn't get two rounds of Be the Booker tonight, we didn't quite hit the goal, I'm going to, because you guys did kill it tonight nonetheless, I'm going to add a stipulation to this. We know Undertaker and Ric Flair is our main event. What kind of match will Undertaker and Ric Flair have? Let's find out. Oh, man. The Undertaker and Ric Flair are going to have themselves a Molotov cocktail match. They're going to throw Molotov cocktails at each other. And I was about to hit the clean sweep because I realized we had three bells. That's a clean sweep. But then we had to hit the Molotov cocktail stipulation, which ruined the entire thing. Ric Flair should not be in a match that involves people throwing Molotov cocktails at each other. I ruined it. I thought I was doing something good. And I ruined it. Do you hear the crowd? Do you hear what they're saying? They're chanting, "You fucked up. You fucked up." Almost had that sweep. It was right there. Devin from NJ. Yeah, I flew too close to the sun. That's how it happens. You just fly a little too close to the sun. You get burned up in the atmosphere, and that's the end. Devin says, buy or sell, Kurt Angle or Chris Jericho? I'm buying on Kurt Angle. Kurt Angle was the fucking man. See, this is why I don't gamble. You imagine? I win some money. It's like, oh, man. I got to keep this going. I'd be like Nick Jackson, blowing all the Young Bucks money. Just gamble it all away. This is a dusty finish. You guys got that, you know, that should be one of the stipulations. That should be one of the stipulations and be the booker. It's not really a stipulation, but fucking dusty finish. All right, the next time I'm with you live here is going to be the Blood and Guts review. After Dynamite this Wednesday, big Blood and Guts show, 2.5 hours long, so I won't be live until 11 o'clock, a little bit later than usual. So I hope you will join me on Wednesday night for that. Of course, tomorrow night, me and JD, we've got Tuesday night Titans, and then Friday night we have SmackDown. Saturday night I'll be live on Triller TV, calling the show. Lead play-by-play coming up on Saturday for HOG Super Clash, or as I like to call it,
Super Clash.
Coming up on Saturday. So if you can't be at the big event in Brentwood, New York, you could tune in on Triller TV. That is where I will be. So we got a whole bunch of shows coming up this week. We'll run this goal back again. Maybe we'll lower it a little bit. We'll run the goal back either Wednesday or Friday. And you guys can take another stab at it if you want to see if you can wrangle up a brand new episode of RSPW Rewind. We'll see. Maybe we'll get one. If you missed episode 937 of the podcast, go back and check that out. That dropped yesterday. Be well. Stay safe. Thank you for all the love and support. And I will see you back here live on this channel for the Blood and Guts recap on Wednesday night. Until then, take care, guys.